A very good evening and welcome along to the Score programme. Mark Gallagher here to bring you all the big stories from the sporting world here in the Northwest on this Thursday evening, the 2nd of April. We have a busy show lined up, as always, between now and 8 o'clock. Coming up shortly, we'll be looking back at last night's action in the Ulster Under 20 Football Championship for Donegal, Derry and Tyrone. And also in Gaelic Games, we'll preview the Richie McGilligut Cup semi-final, which will take place between the Donegal and Derry under 20 hurlers this coming Saturday afternoon. In local soccer, the big story of the week is Raphoe Town. They were crowned Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2 champions last Sunday, so we'll be hearing from their manager, Liam Porter. That's all coming up shortly, but we're going to start with League of Ireland Soccer. It's a double weekend of fixtures in both divisions of the SSC Airtricity Leagues. In the first division, Finn Harps host league leaders Cork City tomorrow night at Finn Park, and then they travel to play second place Bray Wanderers on Monday evening. Derry City have two away games over the bank holiday weekend in the top flight. Firstly, tomorrow, Tiernan Lynch's side go to Galway United, and then on Monday they're at the showgrounds to face Sligo Rovers. So, to preview the double weekend, Oisin Kelly has been speaking to former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle.
Declan, nice for you to drop in the studio. How's things?
Good, Oisin. Good to be here.
Yeah, listen, a double weekend of games ahead in the League of Ireland. Before we actually look at those, let's talk Seamus Coleman, international football. Lots of talk and commentary around will he still be in a green shirt when it comes round to the National Leagues and the Euros. Heimir Hallgrímsson wants him to stay. There's sort of slight indications maybe that he may be stepping away with sort of how he lined out with his children. Yeah. Ahead of the game. What's your thoughts on it? Is Jimmy Coleman at 37 years of age, almost 80 caps, good enough to be part of this Ireland group going forward now for the next couple of competitions?
Yeah, well, listen, there's no doubt about the quality of Jimmy Coleman, even and you know at 37, coming 38, as you said. He came in, obviously, in November games and done really well, and big games and pressure moments. And obviously, I would think if everything went according to plan and he ended up going to the World Cup this year, he probably would have retired out there. But the fact that hasn't been the case, and we've seen the result now last night as well, which makes it even more disappointing from an Irish fan. But to know that you know the team that we obviously on that interpretation that it would be Denmark that we get through, you know, but that wasn't the case last night. Big game with the penalties. But on Shamey's, I suppose decision to step away or not, we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, I think a lot will depend on what's happening with Everton Football Club, and does he get another year's contract there when it comes to the end of the season. There's no doubt about his quality. I would still have him around the squad because of his experience, his knowledge, his relationship with the management, relational and players, leadership skills that he shows all the time. You know, I would definitely, if you're a manager, and you would definitely have him around the squad for sure and play him when he needed to play, obviously. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next 3 or 4 months and those kind of decisions as well, you know. But for me, the leadership qualities and the experience he has, you would definitely have him around the fold and around the team.
Yeah, of course you would. We'll wait to see what Seamus Coleman's decision is going to be. But listen, there's lots of League of Ireland action this weekend. I'm going to start by the point that Kevin McHugh mentioned last week. Harps, of course, have a game Friday where they are at home to Cork City. Then they have a game on Monday where they are away to Bray Wanderers. Bar one team in the first division, everybody else is part-time. And he felt that it was okay for the top clubs in the Premier Division to have double weekends. Mm. They have the time to afford it. Harps have players who have jobs. They have to get they have time off work. Is it something that maybe the league needs to take a real good look at, particularly when you're dealing with first division clubs that having double weekends is very, very strenuous on them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even more so when you're playing Cork and Bray Wanderers first and second in the league as well. But yeah, listen, it definitely, we all know that you know, the league wants full-time teams, and the more full-time teams, the more exposure they have, you know, and you can see in the results that's happening in European football with, you know, likes of the teams, Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers doing so well. So they're a full-time outfit. Their budgets are massive. They're into the millions. When you're looking at the first division, and Kevin's making the point, he's absolutely right, you know. So, you know, whether that pans out, I don't know, the plan would probably have a break in June time as well. So maybe that could be have to be sacrificed, or when you fit the games in. I think there's times throughout the whole season where the games and the league could be continued on a week or two afterwards, or, you know, so we're started a week or two early. So the double headers, you know, it's a lot on a part-time player. You know, I suppose the only consolation is they're not two away games. You're away to Cork and away to Bray, a different kettle of fish, but you're home to Cork, massive game obviously, for the players, you know, and hopefully they can get a good positive result and 3 points against Cork, yeah, or even a draw. You can bring that energy forward to Bray, you know, but you know, yeah, listen, there's definitely a merit in Kevin's point for sure, but it's been like that for a lot of years now, so I can't see that changing too much. Yep. You know,
how good a measure is it for Harps going to be come Friday night to take on what is the best side in the country at the moment in the first division? Like, they're unbeaten. They've won 6 of their 7 games. Now, Harps are unbeaten at home as well. Like, they haven't lost a game at home this season. But it's a good measure for Kevin and his squad to see exactly where they're at.
Yeah, I think so. I would agree with that. I was at the cup game, obviously, last year, and barring the first 10 or 15 minutes, were quite dominant and scored 2 early goals. You know, Van Hart's performance wasn't bad at all against them. You know, so I think they're better now this season than they were, obviously, that. They're at home. Cork, as you said, like 6-1s, 1 draw, like, you know, 14 goals for, 4 against. They haven't conceded too many goals. Best squad and biggest budget in the league, so, you know, they're coming with loads of confidence. A lot of players are real good quality as well throughout that. So it's going to be a difficult night task, but I know if you're playing in the Finn Harp squad, it's a really good opportunity for you to play against the best, see where you are, you know, and that normally brings the best out of players playing against better players and bigger clubs as well. So you're looking for a really big performance. I've no doubt there'll be a big crowd on Friday night as well at the game, so it's a real opportunity for, you know, new fans that are coming out to see this game, because they're playing against Cork City, big club, and are going really well and will probably win the first division. You know, you get an opportunity to see good players, so there'll be a bigger crowd than normal probably that game, so it's an opportunity to entertain them and put in a big performance and get them back to, you know, to keep the gates and tents up. So, you know, Harps have done really well, you know, obviously 2-1s, 3 draws, you know, so against Friday night's an opportunity to get 3 points, yeah, you know, for sure.
What would be a good weekend then out of the 2 games for Harps?
Yeah.
Is any of these 2 games winnable?
I think a good weekend for Kevin at this stage would be 4 points. So whether that comes in a draw at home and a 1 away from home, you know, yeah, listen, that'd be really good. But if you start from home, obviously, see how that goes, and then take it into the Bray game. The Bray game's an interesting one because they're going really well, obviously, as well. 4-1, 2 draws and 1 loss, you know. At home before last year, we beat them completely 5-0, I think, in one of the games, you know. But Bray at home, on the Astor pitch, they've a young squad, loads of energy, loads of athleticism. They're hard to play against, getting good results. Turned the game around last week and got a late winner, so they're coming in really good form, got to the playoffs you know, last year as well, so they're bringing that form forward, so they will be a big test at home for sure. But yeah, listen, I think 4 points will be a really, really good weekend for Finn Harps if they can do that and keep some well up the table.
Well, we'll wait to see if that's going to come off taking the fixtures in the first division. As we know, Harps against Cork City. Dermot Doherty will have live updates from that game as from the 7:45 start this coming Friday. Athlone Town and UCD currently sit in a tie for 3rd and 10 points. Athlone Town are at home for that one. Kerry FC are playing Cove Ramblers. There's a big Munster derby there. Both of those sides are joined 7th with Longford Town on 6 points. Longford are going to bottom side at Treaty United, and Wexford are playing Bray Wanderers. Wexford, of course, currently in the standings 6th. Actually joint 5th with Harps just below them on goal difference. Harps and Wexford mid-table joint 5th on 9 points. So that's the first division action this
weekend. The funny one there, as we talked about it at the start of the season, those Cove Ramblers are down in 9th, you know, and they spent a lot of money and a lot of good quality players, and they just haven't performed for some reason or other. So that's
something similar to the Athlone situation a couple of years ago. Spent all this money,
yeah,
talk about them coming up, going to do X, Y and Z, and they found themselves in the bottom.
Yeah,
couple,
absolutely. You know, and I just never know. Yeah. Just because you have a bigger budget, you know, players need to perform, and the players come in need to do obviously very, very well in order to get results. And at the minute, you know, and that's not probably they will improve and they will move up the table. But currently, it's 7 games played. You know, they're sitting in 6 points, and they're just one ahead of 3D United, who are holding up the table. So, yeah, listen, just a really interesting observation. And we thought at the start of the season they would be up there.
And Cove are going to come to Fun Harps on Friday week as well. So, Harps have a game with them in Ballybuffet. Okay, let's go to the Premier Division. Derry City just have a bulk of away games to deal with now, Declan, and both of those games are away this weekend. Friday, they go to Galway United, and Derry City off to Sligo Rovers on Monday. Two big games for Tiernan Lynch, and as he goes into to two matches, which includes a derby fixture, of course. Currently sixth in the table, 9 points behind the leaders, Bows. It's fair to say the season really hasn't gone to what the club or the supporters expected in Derry, with all these players coming in. They thought they'd be at the top end of it. Just hasn't really materialised the way Tiernan Lynch and the board had wanted in Derry.
No. Been disappointing, you would say. A lot of players...
When you factor in all the home games too, I'm thinking here. Like, how many games there was at home.
Yeah, so listen, it's going to be really interesting, obviously, because I know at the minute they're digging up the Astor pitches in the Ryan Brandywell Stadium, obviously Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. But so they're digging that up in a minute. And so... that's the end of obviously Asturf. Over the weekend, they're down in Galway, they're in Sligo as well, 2 grass pitches. So it'll be interesting to see how that performs. I know there's probably, you know, a thought pattern that the Asturf pitch hasn't suited them. You know, so that's be interesting to see. Time will tell on that one. But I mean, you have to say what the quality of players they brought in, the number of players they brought in, you would definitely identify that they haven't performed. You're sitting with 8 games played and you're 9 points behind Bows. You know, so, and that's even with them, they had 3 draws and 1, 3 draws they had and 5 ones, Bows. So they haven't been like where they've won every single game. So Derry are well off the mark to where they should be. I tipped them the start of the season to win the league. So I'm well off it as well in that regards. Yeah, listen, they can turn it around. They will turn it around. So be interesting here this weekend. Go difficult match. They did go away last year and they scored a late goal against Galway United. They don't have a great record in the showgrounds. Sligo have been dealt well with them and got a lot of results. Now Derry did go there last year and get a one as well, first in a long, long time. So that'd be interesting to see. And Sligo weren't going so well. Galway will be a different kettle of fish. They're very stubborn to play against, so that's going to be really interesting games. But yeah, they need 3 points. You know, you look at there now, if they can potentially beat Galway, beat Sligo Rovers, that really pushes them up the table, and that'll be a big weekend for them, you know.
Yeah, and the flip side of that is Sligo badly need wins. They've got 2 heavy games this weekend, Derry obviously on Monday, and St Pat's in Dublin on Friday. And if they were to take something out of both of those games, it'll give a big injection under the arm for them, that's for sure, because they badly need it. They've lost like 6 or 8 matches so far. So
yeah, the performance is... have been better than the results. That's what I would say. They have a lot of injuries and top end of the pitch is causing them real problems. And even this week, I think they're struggling for 3 or 4 players as well. They've been out injured as well. So not a good weekend. They're going to St Pat's, sitting in 17 points. Stephen Kenny, probably this year under the radar, no real pressure on. Last year, signed a lot of players. Stephen Kenny was the manager, big pressure, thought we'd go on and won the league potentially. Didn't this year. You know, no wild expectations, and they've done really well. 5-1, 2 draws, 1 loss. You know, they won 4 of the last 5 games. So they've come, they're in really good form at home, and I expect them to turn over Sligo Rovers up there, especially with injuries they have. Sligo's performances have been good. You know, they obviously lost 1-0 to Dundalk. Performance was better than, should have got probably something out of the game, should have got 3 points. For me, they were better than Dundalk, you know. Their last home game, there was good performance as well. So they just haven't getting the results, but where the performances have been good. So yeah, listen, I don't expect them to take points against St Pat's, but I do expect them to put on a big performance and maybe get something out of Derry City game.
Okay, Pat's currently sitting second, 1 point behind leaders Bows and 2 ahead of Shamrock Rovers. So Pat's are sandwiched in between the other Dublin clubs in the top end of the table. Both of those are on the road. Bows go to Drogheda United, Shamrock Rovers go to Waterford. You would expect both of those sides to start the weekend with victory there.
Yeah, absolutely. Bows for me, best team in the league so far that I've seen. Best balanced team, and they work the hardest as well. You know, and that's even with Shamrock Rovers coming to town a few weeks ago there in Sligo, I thought Bowes were just really, really good. So if they can keep the current form going, for sure. It'll be a difficult match away to Drogheda United, as you mentioned. Difficult to play up there, so that'll be interesting. Might it be a draw for me in that one, maybe an end up, but there won't be too much in it. But Bowes are really, really singing, and they're scoring late goals as well. So Patrick Hickey and Sam Todd have been the two best centre halves pairing in the league so far. Really good together, and their midfield is really, really singing as well. So they're going really, really well. So Shamrock Rovers should beat Waterford. You think Waterford results haven't been great at home, and Shamrock Rovers starting to. Even though they weren't great in the showgrounds a few weeks ago, they've done enough and they have enough quality that they can have bad days and still produce moments of magic with the quality of players that they have either starting or coming off the bench. So expect them to definitely beat Waterford, and then your Shelburne Dundalk, which could go either way.
That could be the game of the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Shelburne, you know, they were at home there. They had way too Sligo Rovers and I just looked at their squad of players. It's phenomenal what players they have. You know, most teams now obviously have the nine subs, but they could put out the nine subs and still be really, really comfortable and really, really good, you know. So just the quality of their bench in general, and they have good, really good forwards as well, you know. So these players come on and can change things for somebody having an off day. Dundalk are probably the surprise package of it. We probably thought they'd be down near the bottom, and they haven't been, you know. So they're up in fifth, so they're going really well, better than most people anticipated, including myself in that one. So they've done well, you know. They drew with Shamrock Rovers. They've beaten Sligo Rovers 1-0 up in Oriel Park, so they'll go there with confidence. They got a draw with Derry City early in the season as well, so it's not an easy game, but Shelburne, just with the quality of players that they have, I expect them to definitely turn over Dundalk. Harry Wood's probably the best player for me in the league. He's just outstanding, absolutely outstanding, and you know, he's the key player that Dundalk will have to watch out for.
Yeah, and Shells of course go to Shamrock Rovers on Monday. Okay, score prediction time. I'm putting you on the spot, Declan. Derry's game with Galway, what's it going to finish at MNDC Park?
I think that'll be a 1-1.
1-1, okay.
1-1, yeah, I think, yeah, that's what I think. 1-1 for that one.
And back to the First Division, Harps hosting Cork City.
I think that Van Harps can get something out of this game, you know, so it could be 2-2.
2-2. Yeah. Okay, there's going to be goals.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And the young guys at Harps aren't going to fear Cork City by the sounds of it then.
Do you know what? I think they've learned a lot from last year. I think the cup match, you know, that they learned a lot from that, and they'll definitely be ready for Cork. And the first 10 or 15 minutes in that game, Cork were very dominant and scored two early goals and kind of killed the game a wee bit. So I think they'll be ready for this challenge. I think it's a real good test for them, and I expect them to put on a really good performance. So hopefully we can get something out of it.
Okay, Declan Boyd, as always, many thanks for coming in. You'll be back on air again on Sunday to review the action, and indeed again to preview the Monday night stuff. So thanks for calling.
Delighted. Thanks a million.
There you go. That is former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle speaking with our own Oisín Kelly. And as Oisín mentioned, you can tune in for live updates from the Harps game against Cork City tomorrow night from 7:45. In the NAFL Championship this weekend, both Northwest teams play on Saturday. Institute host Warren Point in the relegation group, while the top of the table, Limavady, are at home to H&W Welders. Now, let's turn the focus towards local soccer. After victory over Lifford Celtic last Sunday, Raphoe Town secured the Donegal Physiotherapy and Performance Centre Division 2 title and, of course, promotion to Division 1 of the Donegal League for next season. Chris Ashmore caught up with Raphoe boss Liam Porter to discuss the massive achievement for the club.
Liam, many thanks for joining us on the Score programme. And firstly, congratulations, a league title for Raphoe, Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2. And it's the first title in more than 20 years.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Chris. Just 21 years, 2004-2005 season, we won the First Division back then. So it's been a bit of a wait in the in between. A lot of stuff has happened in the club since then. It's a lot bigger in terms of the number of teams that we have, in terms of, you know, all the underage teams and the girls teams and the, you know, senior women's team and stuff, and the development of our own kind of club facilities. You just caught me at the Sports Capital meeting here just tonight, just in relation to further developing those facilities. So while we haven't had a lot in terms of silverware, we have had some area finals, and we had an Ulster Shield and stuff in the in between. We didn't have a league win for a long time, so it was a very nice feeling at the weekend, especially when you consider that, you know, for the last couple of seasons, we really, really struggled in terms of results, not necessarily performances. And we have a very, very young team. And the experience that they had, I think they finished second from bottom for the last two, if not three seasons. So to come from there to, as yet, unbeaten with four games to go, and have the league secured is a great turnaround. It's a great testament to the hard work and the dedication and just the resilience of sticking in there, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Just looking, played 16, won 14, drawn 2, a goal difference of plus 46. So it's been a really good season. You've still got four games to go. Will it be hard to motivate the lads over those final games, do you think?
I actually don't think so. I think, you know, huge credit has to go to the management coaching team. Mike Kelly, who's the club chairman, is the manager of the team, and Emmett, who, you know, is a long-serving club player and he's a coach, and Seamus Canning, who a couple of years ago, Rafo and Calais joined forces in the youth league to keep a lot of young fellas playing and keep them in the game. And what an addition Seamus has been to our club, and a lot of those young lads have stuck together in that period. Really became the backbone of our Donegal League team, but effectively they were coming in as 17-year-olds, played some super football over the last few years, but just kind of were out-muscled and, just kind of the craft, as we would say, around these parts just wasn't there. But this year, those young lads had some experience brought in along with them, or a bit more experience brought in along with them, and that has really helped, you know. So that kind of the old adage of youth and experience combined. So Mike and Emmett and Seamus and Aidan Gallagher, who's their goalkeeping coach, have done amazing work. And like, you can see that we're getting 20-22 to training all year. The boys are chomping at the bit to play, and I think, you know, they probably would have struggled on Monday with a few sore heads if they had to play, but come the weekend, I think there'll be no lack of motivation. There's only a few games left, and they're mad to play football, and that's what was so good about this, because there's a lot of young guys that, you know, could have just dropped away. You know, we were getting some heavy defeats over the last couple of seasons, but they just love playing football and they stuck at it. So I can't see any lack of motivation for them for the last few games.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, you know, great to see some of the old guard. You know, the club means to a lot of people in the community, and indeed there's those family links, there's fathers and sons, and indeed if you go back to the connections with that title win over 21 years ago, there's still family members. The team sheet has a few familiar names.
There's a lot of familiar names and a lot of families involved, like Darren Kelly, and Darren played as a young fellow when it Rafo Town won our first ever title as Rafo Town, and Darren scored on our last day of that season. He came in as a young player, and himself and Connor Porter were the younger lads in that team, and I was playing then. Darren was a player manager in 2005, and you know, and he'd be well known having a great goal scorer, and he played for Rafo, and he played in the Ulster Senior League, and Darren's son DJ is in the team and scored on Sunday actually, and DJ could well be our top goal scorer. We I know you quoted the number of goals that we had there, but we've had goals from everywhere this year, which has been brilliant. But DJ is there, Oren Kelly, is Emmett's son, and Oran scored on Sunday as well. Emmett scored the winner that last time when we won back in 2005, and Jack Gallagher, Aidan Gallagher's son as well, and Aidan's our goalkeeping coach, and lots of family connections, Ryan McCullough and Anton Murta, Christy Bogle, names that would be, and Keenan Bogle, names that are synonymous with football in Rafal for a long time. And then, you know, even the, we had the experienced Jared Zola McGranahan back in the team this year and back playing with us, and, you know, and like what he was able to bring, you know, just in terms of his knowledge and his experience. And, you know, we've had a lot of, you know, great work and great effort from the lads. But we've had fellas like Craig Kelly, who mightn't have seen a huge amount of minutes, you know, over the season, but, you know, I would say you'd be hard pressed to find anybody more motivated in the Donegal League. You know, the encouragement that he has shown to the young lads in that team over the last couple of years, when it was really, you know, really, really tough, and he just kept them going. He kept saying, "Keep playing, boys, and keep going." And like for us, that's kind of been the big one. Looked around on Sunday at that match in Lifford, and I realised that every single player has come through, you know, the underage structures at the club, and you know, that's like, that's a huge positive for any local club, and that's probably why, you know, winning makes it very, very sweet.
That is Rafal Town manager Liam Porter in conversation with Chris Ashmore. Brilliant achievement for the club, so congratulations to all involved. Rafal are back out in Division 2 this Sunday as newly crowned champions. The pressure's off a bit. They are away to Dunkaneely Celtic, and there are two games in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division on Sunday. St Catharines had a brilliant 3-2 win over Kilmacrenan and Celtic last week, which has really tightened up matters at the bottom end of the table. Only 6 points separate the bottom four teams. Catharines welcome Fana United to Emerald Park this week and could jump ahead of Kilmacrenan with another win. While KG Rovers, who are currently second from bottom just above Glenae United, they play third place Donegal Town at the Hospital Field. A few other big games locally to tell you about this weekend. Tomorrow night, Friday, there's one game in the FAI Junior Cup as Cairn play Letterkenny Rovers. There's an FAI Cup game on Sunday as well as Clonmany Shamrocks play host to Kildrum Tigers. Also tomorrow night, there are two games in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division in Inishowen. Bunkrana Hearts play QPS, while Illy Celtic are at home to Cockhill Celtic. And Cockhill are back out again on Sunday to take on Alia. That is in the Clubman Shirts semi-final. So two games within the space of just 3 days for Cockhill. Lots of other games in the show on this weekend, but one of the other standout games is the meeting of Cairn Utes and Cockhill Celtic Utes. That is in the Charlie O'Donnell Cup final, which will take place at McGinn Park on Saturday at 4 o'clock. Let's take a break here on the programme. We'll be having a look at the Ulster Under 20 Football Championship when we come back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the programme. Now let's talk Gaelic games. A late score last night from Shane Callaghan secured Donegal's victory in their final Ulster Under 20 Football Championship group game in Derry last night. The 112-111 win at Celtic Park has also seen the home semi-final for Donegal in 3 weeks' time. Good performances from Shane Callaghan and Max Campbell, who followed up his excellent display for the seniors at Croke Park on Sunday. He scored the Donegal goal in the first half. Let's now hear from both the Donegal and Derry camps after last night's game. We'll be hearing shortly from Derry boss Damian McAuleen, as his team will now play a quarter final and have a busy couple of weeks ahead. But firstly, here is Donegal under 20 manager Gary Boyle, who was pleased with his side's performance towards the end of the game last night.
Gary, judging by the sounds coming from the dressing rooms tonight, you're happy enough and the boys are happy enough for the performance out there. You know, you steadied the ship in the end when it mattered.
Delighted with the character that the lads showed, you know. Throughout the game, you know, we got a good start to the game, and then Derry came back at us, and I think it was all squared half time. And then it was tit for tat all the way down home straight then. But I thought the last 7 or 8 minutes, you know, we're very happy with the lads in the last 7 or 8 minutes. You know, how when the game was there to be won, I think they went after it and they went for the one and they got the one. You know, we were a point down and then we went 2 points up, and we conceded a breach then. Derry back in the game, but then we went up and we kicked the last four then again, which was, you know, it was brilliant from the lads. And, you know, it's, I wouldn't expect anything less for it from them, you know, to just keep going, keep going, keep going. And, you know, games like that there, we had a tight game against Fermanagh and that probably stood to us tonight. And up in Monaghan was a tight game, and again a tight game like that tonight, hopefully it'll stand to us as well when we get into the knockout stages.
Yeah, I mean, let's go back to the very start. Tomás Kerr, after 20 seconds, at the back of the Derry net, like a dream start to begin with. But then it took you quite a while then to settle back into the game. You know, Derry got a few scores under their belt, but then a trail of scores come from, you know, Tomás Kerr again to make it 1-1 there. Max Campbell, Shane Callan steadied the ship going in at half time. You'd have been happy going in at the break, all even.
Yeah. I think there probably was a slight breeze. You know, we were probably against it in the first half, but I was happy with our attacking play in the first half. You know, once we managed to get the ball up into the opposition half, I thought we were very, very good. But we just struggled then. We lost a spell then towards the end of the first half where we struggled to get the ball out and we got punished severely for it.
It was tough then in the second half when you come out. You didn't score for 14 minutes. Donoghue Boyle got on the score sheet then. Do you know, that was a period where you needed to really settle and try and keep possession.
Yeah, massive kick from Donoghue. I think that again was a short kick out that Derry had won, and we ended up turning them over and we got a free in, and that was a massive kick from Donoghue out in the sideline. You know, and again, he wasn't on much ball throughout the game, but again, for him to kick that ball, you know, at that stage of the game, it was a massive kick for us.
Yeah, and great too to have the boys back in from the senior panel, like, you know, Finn Barrody out there tonight, Kevin Mundoon, Turlough Carey, I see you come on there as well. Like, it's very good. It adds more, you know, more depth to your squad as well, and I suppose you'll be looking for that now going ahead into the semi-final.
Aye, definitely, yeah. You know, we've 3 weeks, you know, we'll sit down now tomorrow and we'll reevaluate now the four group games, and, you know, we'll see where we're at and the work that we've got to do over the next 3 weeks, but to get ourselves ready for a semi-final in three weeks' time. But, you know, we definitely have work to do. We definitely do now, but, you know, we'll just take it easy tonight then and start talking about it again tomorrow.
Damien, what's the thoughts after that one?
Hi, look, proper game. Two good teams. Probably just we felt that Fields probably don't go getting the goal more or less from the throw in. Set them up that they could dictate the game a good bit in the first half, felt we were a bit off it, in terms of our energy and bite to the whole thing. And then the second half we probably upped it and had most of the possession, but we weren't clinical enough, you know. So
the last 15, it really did spark into, because it was a bit tame for times, but the last 15 there was a wee bit more bite.
Aye, look, and that's the difference probably even with a group stage match. It's not the total jeopardy, I suppose, but and nobody wanted to lose it. Teams were probably keen enough to finish top of the group, and there was a wee bit more bite to it, I suppose. But look, we were down, and then at the end there, and then we had opportunities to manage the game out, and you know, a draw would have done us to top the group. But our game management let us down a wee bit, you know, just holding the ball and tackles. You can't do that against Donegal the way they press and all the rest and the quality that they have. So look, we're disappointed, but you know, we'll learn an absolute mountain from this game. We'll have to take it away now. We'll have to go through the quarter final or whoever comes out of that. We've had them to play next week. You know, they push Mullen all the way tonight, so you know, there's no easy way about it. I've said before the championship started sometimes that, you know, that semi-final is a difficult one to sit waiting on in, if you're not really, really playing well. So we're going to, no choice now, so we'll have to go and win a really tough quarter final against whoever's coming out of the other group, because it's been massively competitive. So, but at the end of the day, it'll be all about ourselves and what we can take out of that game and go on and improve again.
I heard you talking in a previous interview over the weekend where it's one of those ones, if you get this, it depends how the competition pans out, but you have that quarter final now, and like this time last year, Tyrone were pushed to the pin of the collar by Armagh. So is that what you're hoping for, that the championship bait is what kicks your guys into gear? Or is there more than that?
If that is the game, you know, it's the game that, you know, you mightn't get out of the quarter final, you know what I mean? That's the thing. Then they are big games. That will be a titanic struggle no matter who you end up playing on that there. So, but if you can get out of it, that the teams that come out of them games, you know, are, and, you know, they're well chiseled, I suppose, the next week, whereas you're through to the group now, you're actually sitting waiting that now for 3 weeks. So it makes it all very simple for you, you know, in terms of we've game on game on game now every week, so we have a routine, we're in a routine already, and we're there's no more gaps. It's just one week after the hour now, so we just have to go. It'll test the panel, because that's tough on the body, but there's a lot of stuff we can take out of the night to learn, and it was brilliant to see Donegal up close again. You know, the toughest games we had in 2023 were against Donegal, and as a minor group, just this particular age group, and there's a fair wee sprinkling of the two teams still there, and that's been the same tonight again, you know.
That is the voice of Derry under 20 boss Damian McAuley speaking with Michael McMullen. And before that, Donegal manager Gary Boyle's chat with Maureen O'Donnell after coming through that tight game last night. Well, after suffering defeat in their opening Ulster under 20 football championship fixture to Cavan, Tyrone bounced back with a comfortable 18 point win over Down last night. It finished 4-23-1-14 in Dungannon. Tyrone coach Conor O'Donnell was pleased with how the side responded after the defeat the previous week.
These lads are a proud group of lads, and they were hurting now after last Wednesday night, and as a group, even the management were hurting. You know, we probably hadn't got a game maybe in 3 weeks before that. You could see that we were a wee bit lethargic going into the game and stuff like that. But no, fair play to the lads. Anything we've been working on there this past week, and they've put it into practice there, and they went after it. They knew that there's no hiding places now. The game was a must win for us, and thankfully we done it in good enough fashion.
Went after it right from the start. You know, it was attack from the word go, and you know, from the minute they opened up with that opening point, there was non-stop.
Yep, that's it. Just trying to get Paul is always next ball. If you score, it's the next kick out and the next play. So the lads are, you know, fair play to them. Anything we went off going after kick outs, and we knew we had the breeze. So in this game of football, you can't let it settle for 10 or 15 minutes. You have to go after it from the first whistle, because you've only 30 minutes with a breeze like that, so you have to go to town it. And thankfully the boys took their opportunity and chipped on the scores, and we got a good lead on them.
I suppose it's hard to totally dominate a game for 60 plus minutes, but Down did have their spell there in that second half and got a goal back and a couple of two-pointers. Something for you to work on there as well, I suppose.
Aye, definitely. They had a couple of sharpshooters there, Medine there, and Owen Travers and stuff, that we had done our homework on them, but you know, they're always going to get maybe chip in and get their points, and they're going to keep them scoreless and things like that. But no, that'll give us a nice wee focus now that, you know, our aim was maybe to keep out the goals and conceded one. So that's another wee focus for us going into next week, which is a huge game against Armagh that we're looking forward to.
And at Breffni Park, only one forward scored, only two in total altogether. There was a big spread of scorers there tonight, so you'll be glad to see that.
Aye, thank God. We give Shea a half a night off a night. So no, it was good to see even Rory back there. Rory's been plugging away in the background. He hasn't had it easy, so even himself and Conor Neal there coming in the fray, two experienced lads, and you know, they've had their two All-Irelands and stuff like that, but them lads aren't settling for that. They're not the type of footballers to rest in their laurels, so they're going to push this group on with their experience, and thankfully we're going the right direction now.
Tyrone under 20 coach Conor O'Donnell speaking to Francis Mooney after last night's win. Now from football to hurling, and it's a big weekend for the under 20 hurlers of Donegal and Derry as the two counties meet in the All-Ireland under 20 B Richie McGilligut Cup semi-final at Owen Beg on Saturday afternoon. Donegal boss is Eddie Gaffey, and Eddie has been looking forward to the big occasion with Highlands Oisín Kelly.
Eddie, how you doing?
Not too bad, Oisín. How are you getting on? Thanks for having me on.
No problem. I'm fine. So, man, I'm sure you're enjoying the preparation to what's a huge game this weekend. What's the prep been like this week for you?
The preparation has been good, Oisín. Yeah, we've been training hard, working away. We trained there last night, and last final get together tomorrow now, and lads are in good shape and looking forward to it. And you know, seeing the good opportunity we have ahead of us, and excited to go out and try grasp it, yeah. You know, with two hands, you know.
How big an opportunity is this, Eddie?
It's a massive opportunity. Like I say, it's probably uncharted territory. Donegal's ever been in an under 20 B final before, so it's a huge opportunity for us. And I have a great bunch of lads. They're a great character, and they're really see the opportunity ahead of us, and are really going to put everything into it to try to get us over the line on Saturday.
Yeah, you might maybe just take us through the matches that you played so far, or the campaign you had so far, which was obviously been dominated by Ulster, and within that you've already played Derry this year, Eddie.
Yeah, we've already played Derry this year. We kind of mixed fortunes in the Ulster League. Kind of, we had a good first outing against Wicklow. We drew with Wicklow, and then we had Derry in the second game. Wasn't our best performance. Now Derry kind of got a good start in the first half and kind of pulled away, and the game was kind of over at halftime, to be honest. But it ended up 5-12 to 1-12. And then we put in a very good performance against Down. Antrim were probably were just a step too good for us. And Tyrone, again, we put in another good performance. So we know that there's not much between any of the teams that we've played this year and that we are likely to play in this campaign.
Yeah. How beneficial was it, even though you suffered defeat and you said the game was over at halftime against Derry, how beneficial was that day now, as you sort of said to me, here now in an All-Ireland semi-final?
Yeah, well, like, I suppose the lads know that they didn't put their best foot forward that day. And we knew as the newest players, we knew as management that there's more in them, and you know, like I said, they upped it in the second half, but they know that we can't be given the same space as we gave to Derry on Saturday as we did that day, and that we will have to be at our best and shoulder to shoulder and go at them from the very get-go, from the first minute to the 60th. And we'll, you know, they'll want to right the wrongs of that day on Saturday. And like I said, loads of character in this team, and I've no doubt they'll be using that as motivation to push themselves on, you know.
Yeah, you have a couple of players playing with you that are involved in Mickey McCann seniors as well, Lady.
Yeah, we have Dan Donnelly there and John Keeley and Jacob Malone. Now, Jacob's injured. He hasn't been playing. But, yeah, John Keeley there and Dan Donnelly are having been with John, with the seniors, and they're involved with us as well. So there are two great men that we have involved with us. And they're going to be huge additions to the team and good men to have with us.
Yeah, obviously they're the likes of players that you want to go to on big occasions, but you've a lot of other good hurlers within the group as well, Eddie.
Oh, we have some very good, you know, we have some very good hurlers, some great leaders in the team. Like we've Aidan McKinney, we've Kyron McColgan, Brendan Gaffey, you know, Conal Hearn, you know, some really good leaders, Sean Farron there, that. With plenty of good, strong, good characters, good leaders there that can step up to the plate when needed, you know. Yeah. So will we use, you know, we have them as well as Dan and John as well, like, you know. So we have a good spine of a good team there. Yeah.
Yeah. And one thing impressed me when I was talking to you beforehand, Eddie, the spread of players that you have within the group. There's somebody there represented as part of your squad from each and every hurling club in the county, which is of a huge bonus. And I suppose that tells a tale of how development and things are progressing along for hurling at the moment.
Yeah, no, definitely. We have a great spread of hurlers, like, you know, all the way from Ballyshannon, Four Masters, you know, Cairn Donagh, you know, St. Eunan's, Sedanta, Burt, you know, I'm probably missing, you know, but nearly every club in the county is represented there. We've a great man there from Guidore as well, you know. So we've a lot of, and Dunlow hurlers there. So we have lads from every part of the county. And I suppose I had a great coach down home who always said, there's hurlers everywhere, like, you know, and there is, and we've got some great hurlers from each of the clubs, and only for the clubs, we don't have quality players like that, and it's great that the amount of work that is being done at hurling at club level that we're producing such good players for us, yeah. You know, from each of the clubs.
Yeah.
It's really beneficial for us.
And if you get to an All-Ireland final at the level, at the B level, that's another injection to the development, so it is, and it's another sort of box tick going forward for the county on the hurling front of Donegal to get to this final.
Oh, it'd be massive, massive. And like, we are, the hurling is developing and it's improving, and it'd be just another step of where we want to go, and give us a little bit of belief in lads, like, you know, we can play at this level, like, you know, and we can compete at these competitions and do well in them, and it definitely would be a good injection, you know, into the hurling and trying to develop it even more.
The other semi-final is obviously involving another North West County Tyrone that you played in the Ulster League. They're taking on Roscommon. But listen, whoever gets through that one, for Donegal to get under the cider, into the decider, just finally, Eddie. Derry are going to probably be favourites for this off the back of what happened in the Ulster League, the fact that they have home advantage. But if Donegal are going to overcome them, what sort of level of performance is it going to be required?
We're going to have to have a huge performance on Saturday. Like you said, we don't undermiss. We're excited about the challenge, but we don't underestimate at all the challenge that's going to be there for us. Derry are a very good side, and if we allow them to punish us, like they did with early goals in the group game or in the Ulster League game there, but it's going to take a huge effort from everybody, you know, from like say from the very first minute to the 60th. But we definitely be underdogs, and they won this, I think, 3 years ago, and they've been going well in the league, and so it's got a huge challenge, but it's a huge opportunity at the same time, and lads know that, and when you're in an All-Ireland semi-final, you just want to put your best foot forward and leave it all out in the field, and whatever will be, and please God, we'll have enough to get through to the final.
All right, Eddie, many thanks for taking the call, and we wish you, your management, and all your players the very best of luck this weekend in that All-Ireland semi-final.
Oisín, thanks very much. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Donegal under 20 hurling manager Eddie Gaffey. That game against Derry is on Saturday at 2:00, and we'll have live updates with Ryan Ferry. The other semi-final on Saturday sees Tyrone face Roscommon at the same time in Gervahi. Elsewhere in Gaelic games this weekend, the All-County Leagues continue here in Donegal. 6 games in Division 1 across Saturday and Sunday. Terminer at home to Glenfinn and Niamh Connell play 4 Masters on Saturday evening. On Sunday, St Michael's face Dunloe. It is St Eunan's against Glenswilly. Kilcara take on Niamh Warrilow at Rosses, and Sean McCool's play at Gidoa. There are also games across Divisions 2 and 3 this weekend. Highlands Dedicated GA programme is now available to listen back to over on our website. This week, Brendan Devaney has been reviewing and previewing all the weekend's league action in Donegal on the DL Debate, which you can tune into over on the playback section at highlandradio.com. So let's have a look at what else is happening in the sporting world here in the Northwest this weekend. In rugby, Saturday is a big day for OMA as they face Enniskillen in the Towns Cup semi-final. In Ulster Championship 3, top of the table Strabane will look to add to last week's Gordon West Cup success. They face bottom side Hollywood, while third place Corrain go to fifth place Donaghadee. And in the Provincial North League, Donegal Town face Rainey, and in a showing who are top of that league, they are away to third place UUCM. Finally, for tonight, the Circuit of Ireland Rally will be held out of Dungannon on Saturday and Sunday. Reigning champions Callum Devine and Nolo Sullivan will look to defend their title, with Josh Moffat and Andy Hayes hot on their heels. Donegal interest includes the family trio of Michael, Declan and Matthew Boyle in their Skoda Fabia Rally 2s. That is just about it from me tonight. If you missed any of tonight's show and want to have a listen back, you will be able to find the full episode over on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com or over on the Radio Player app. We'll be back next Thursday from 7 with another episode of The Score. I'm Mark Gallagher. Thank you very much, as always, for listening in. Jimmy Stafford is up next with some great music just after the 8 o'clock news. Have a great evening. Enjoy the sport at the weekend, and I'll be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.